I really wish I had listened to my instincts where it was like, I was going to ask you, I'm like, is it recording? And then I was like,
I think he asked if it's on. I'm like, yeah, it's on.
No, I think it was, are we recording? And her answer was yes, without even checking.
Are we recording? No, yeah.
So, oh God. My name is Voice.
I'm Inara.
I'm Roland.
I'm Ocean.
And we get to explain again our methods of burnout. Oh,
so, this God. Is the recording endless cycle.
This is the
one
that never ends.
So,
God damn it.
Do you want to start again?
Yeah, I'll start again.
Oh, there's tears right. in their eyes.
Can you grab me a Coke, please?
Nope. Oh, I would man. Do more Coke, but the bubbles
stop.
Tickle
me. Stop grinning. This isn't funny.
It is. You. It is hilarious. If I'd be pissed if it wasn't so funny. About a year ago, when I lost my job, I kind of experienced burnout in a lot of ways, you know, from writing to just about everything else that I enjoyed in life. So, I mean, I didn't necessarily stop writing, but it was, you know, around the tail, like, I'd gotten to sending out all the acceptance letters for Punk'd, I'd read through all of the stories and was sending out edits to the stories that had been done, and then when I lost my job, I just sort of stopped caring about really getting any of that work done. So I sort of hopped around from deadline to deadline, finishing stories, but never really quite being involved in them. And by the time, probably around the time when Trick or Treat 2 submissions ended, I was really struggling to finish any kind of story. Like, I wasn't necessarily enjoying it anymore. And for the last 3 months, I've been doing nothing but just about nothing aside from work. And having that
limitation?
No, stability. Having that kind of stability in my life has sort of encouraged me to get back on the wagon and to actually start writing again. So, one of the things that I've decided to do to get myself out of what are we talking about? Burnout?
Deja vu.
One of the things that I've decided to do to get myself out of this burnout stage was to finish Punk'd, to get everything done, to send out the edits, to pay the editors, to send the pay the authors, send the contracts, and get it done. And then at that point I can start to focus on the things that I want to do aside from Punk'd, you know, which include several novels, and, you know, I'd like to gain an online presence as well, which I haven't been doing. So yeah.
I have been suffering burnout for 3 or 4 months. Reason being is I just was kind of sick of writing erotica, and had basically at one point Ray Chen had commented to me that I had had so many upcoming anthologies that I was writing for. He asked if I would ever suffer burnout, and I specifically said no, I don't suffer burnout at all.
I'm gonna live forever.
And unfortunately, shortly after I said that, I suffered burnout.
Crash and burn.
And as I said, it's been 3 to 4 months now, and I have tried writing. I've written a couple things, but I haven't written anything that I've submitted. I haven't given stuff to beta readers. I haven't beta read anything. I'm just literally stalled. And it actually took recently for me to sit there and actually say to myself, you need a break. And I am going to take a break and actually allow myself to take a point in time to do all the things like video games and, you know, work, finish work on AP, just so that you know, I wasn't writing, and I'm okay with that. And it's come to the end of that, and with Christmas vacation coming up and having a lot of time off for the first time in years, I can now sit down and actually write for the stuff that's coming up in February, March, and April. But I tell you, until I told myself that I could have that time off and actually allowed myself to have it, it was like pulling teeth and one of the most painful things to do, to sit down in a chair and try to write.
My problem with the burnout is it's not that I haven't been having the ideas, because I still get a lot of ideas. Good luck turning my brain off. I have a lot of, you know, different plots and stories, ideas just floating around at the computer. But my biggest problem right now with the burnout is I just can't be bothered to write. I mean, if there was a way where I could just put a machine on my head and what I was thinking of went onto the screen, I would be happy as a pig in shit. But right now, not so much. The thought of sitting down and doing work at the computer instead of... It's work. It's not writing for me at this point. It's just ponderous. I don't want to do it. And, you know, with the weather being shit and it's always dark outside, I don't really feel like doing much of anything these days. So the ideas just kind of sit in my brain, squirming and festering and going, hey, do something with me. But I don't want to.
For myself, currently I'm just on a writing break. I'm not really burnt out, but if I kept going, I was definitely on the edge, if not already burnt out. I find that I tend to get a little more involved in my writing, and so I start spending less time on relaxing and doing other hobbies and talking to people. And so I make sure that I take breaks now and then. Some people will recommend this, some people won't. But for myself, I usually like to take, you know, a couple weeks. And, you know, back in the end of September and October, I was just incredibly stressed. Like, October was horrible. I was trying to finish a story because I was stupidly stubborn, had to write a story for this anthology, and, you know, it was incredible. The anthology, as I'm trying to write, is getting less and less space for stories to get in, and I'm just like, I'm not even half done. How am I going to finish this? And the whole process just becomes pessimistic as I start tearing myself down. This is crap. The editor's not going to like this. Why am I wasting my time on this? You should just quit. But that's done. It's behind me now, and now I'm on a nice little break where I'm like, oh, I can play a video game or watch these movies that I never watched. So, but the hardest thing after taking a break is, of course, getting back into it as well. But yeah, like, I took a break last year right after RF because I don't think there was anything else to submit for me. And then this year I decided that, you know, we need a break. There was an idea I had for Furtiskin, but I just went, you know what, let's take a break instead. And we can start again next year. So, you know, here I am.
Yay, fresh start.
Woo.
So we're going to talk about a few different ways that you can get burnout and how to solve them. The first one that's on our lovely list here is writer's block. Now, I could go on for hours and hours and hours about writer's block because I read a wonderful book called Around the Writer's Block, which anyone suffering from writer's block, I would highly recommend you pick up and read. But the most common form of writer's block is actually linked to our time as kids when we were in junior high, high school, sometimes in elementary, where you wrote this beautiful story, handed it to the teacher, and then got it back with red all over it, with no real explanation on what you did wrong or how to fix what you did wrong, that being the most important part.
You actually got to write stories?
Yes.
Wow.
To be fair, did a lot of writing in elementary and junior high, and I never experienced that.
A lot of people do.
I never did. I must have lucked out with good teachers consistently right up until the end of high school. So,
like, whenever I got the red pen, it usually was in the form of a correction.
Yeah, I mean, they're there, but it's as a kid, when you're handed, this is what you did wrong here, here, and here, your grammar's not right here. You don't look at it with the same eyes as, say, you do now, where you look at it and you go, I understand this, I understand this. As a kid, it's usually just like, fuck whatever, all these good marks, I got this grade.
Yeah, I remember receiving that kind of feedback, and, like, when you get that kind of feedback and you're that young, like, it is kind of just a little bit crushing. Like, even if it's constructive, you're not really prepared to take that kind of criticism a lot of the time when you're a kid. You're just writing what you want to write, and somebody comes along and tells you it's wrong. It can have an effect on
you. Yeah, I guess because at that point, most kids at that point are told, you can do anything, you can be anything, you're a wonderful little ray of sunshine.
At the same time, they give you the hand when you stray a little bit from something. And you know, there is being, I guess, technically correct when you're trying to adhere to the English language. But when I was that age, I mean, I didn't want to do anything aside from write fan fiction and, you know, ship whatever characters I damn well pleased.
I ship it.
But a lot of this stuff ends up sticking in the back of your mind subconsciously when you sit down and actually write. And this can actually prevent a lot of people from sitting down and writing because they've got that constant memory. And the thing is people remember negative things far more than they remember the positives. So you've got that sitting there festering. And even if you're not consciously aware of the fact that it's there. And it's affecting your writing. Every time you sit down to write, this is nudging going, you're not good enough. You're just going to get more red marks. You're not going to do this or that or whatever. And unfortunately, the only way to really solve it is to kind of alter the way that your brain is working through various different tricks and whatnot, and just to kind of work through the fact that you've got all this. It sounds very psychologist, but work through all this past, you know, repressed negativity and kind of just look at what you've got, where it's positive experiences, positive reviews, and remind yourself, you can write. There's a reason you're doing this, and there's a reason you are still doing this despite all that. Because that's the thing, is you have decided to pick up the pen again or never dropped it down. That says something already about you as a person.
And I think one thing that people might not realize is that just a lot of people have feelings of inadequacy when it comes to the craft they enjoy, and that, you know, it's okay to feel that way, but, you know, you ultimately can't let it stop you. You can't let it, you know, discourage you from writing.
So the next one is sort of a burnout thing. It can lead to burnout very easily, and that's the endless editing cycle, which we see a lot of when it comes to panels at RF and things like that, where we've always come across those people who are like, I'm writing this book, I've been writing it for the last 6 years, and I keep going over it and all this, how do I continue? And they don't work on anything else. They effectively burn themselves out on one story.
It's something beginner writers are very prone to doing. They, you know, I've had several story ideas that will never be written because of the endless cycle that I ended up in, and ultimately the story just, I was like, fuck it, I'm done.
I know myself, I've struggled. When I started writing, I struggled with the endless editing cycle, as I call it. Because when you're a fresh writer, you want to make sure you're keener. You want to make sure you're doing things right. You want to write the best you can. Like, who doesn't? But and I started tackling a large, like, you know, novel. And so I wrote a first chapter, and then I'm like, I wonder if this is good enough. Is this good enough? I don't know. So I would, you know, you keep pushing it on other people. Read my chapter. Tell me if it's good. It's only a chapter. How are you supposed to know, like, it has...
And no one really is going to give you an honest opinion because nobody wants to get invested in a single chapter.
Yeah. You can go back and rewrite it so many times, but if you don't actually continue to write the rest of the story, then you're never actually going to get anywhere, and then you're going to feel like, I can never write anything because, you know, you just focus on that one section or you'll focus... Say you wrote that one story, but you'll never actually finish editing it because, well, this isn't right and this isn't right. Because
you're too busy polishing a turd.
Yeah, you have to actually go, this is good enough. This is as good as it's going to get with me right now. Let's write something else.
Yeah.
You know, send it to that anthology. Post it online. See what other people say. Start the next... Because that's when you're going to improve, is when you start writing another story.
And a comment that we'd had before we lost... Well, before we did not record any of our footage... you know, if you reach a point at which you haven't changed more than 10% of the story, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you need to move on. Your story is done. Yeah, the time investment is no longer worth it.
The Stephen King method. Now, one that's close and dear to my heart, getting sick of a genre.
It's one that a lot of us have been experiencing lately.
For myself, as I mentioned, it was erotica. And I actually thought it was the majority of my problem until I kind of took a further step back and realized, no, I was just writing in general. But it is very possible to get sick of a certain genre, maybe a certain theme. There's been times when I've been sick of doing horror, and there's been times, as I said, erotica, and those are usually the times where I end up writing something else just for the sheer sake of writing something else.
As far as writing, you know, certain types of genres go, you know, I'm very used to writing sort of like these love stories that almost always end in some sort of heartbreak. I usually try to make them as depressing as possible because I do enjoy writing that kind of genre.
You like making people cry.
But at the same time, and Yan came up with a very good point, again, when we lost the footage, that is very reminiscent of a time in my life where I probably did feel that way a lot of the time. And so now I've started to move on to other genres just because this one doesn't interest me for the moment. I mean, I find it very likely I'm going to return to that style of writing at some point, but for now I just want to write happy things.
Yeah, I think the last three stories and the next two I want to write are completely different than what I've normally written, so it's just nice to sometimes expand, try different things, see how it works, see how it doesn't work.
And I'm actually very excited to start writing, like, noir. I've been listening to so much swing jazz.
Write noir.
Like, not just noir.
Oh,
like
I will.
A noir will. Cyberpunk, like, action 2.5 months. Kind of thing.
Oh, add another to my deadline.
You should play my deadline the is new first. Shadowrun games.
Shadowrun?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're on Steam. They're relatively cheap.
Also, PT put up a really big glossary of noir terms on the guild.
Sweet.
Oh, awesome.
So,
hey, PT!
Another one. Stress. We all get stressed out. Mm-hmm. Especially this month. Because of motherfucking holidays.
Holidays, deadlines at work. Like, the biggest thing we have right now with me is why I included the stress thing is this is the year end for everybody, right? Year end of the year end. The paperwork is flooding in right now. I am up to my earlobes in four different types of reports that I usually have some time to do. I don't have time to do it right now because everyone is throwing their last-minute paperwork in. I've got my registrations coming in left, right, and center because everyone's going, OMG! It's the end of the year and I haven't done any of this paperwork for the last 6 months. And it's like, you sons of a... could have done this months ago! So I'm doing nothing but staring at a computer screen and plotting in numbers and figures all day. And the last thing I want to do is get home and look at my computer and go, I feel productive. No, I'd like to have a drink and watch the cats kick each other's asses. That sounds about as productive as I'm going to get.
Yep. And I know that's been pointed out on the forums a number of times where it's like, the only time you want to write is when you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how much... stress can be caused by wondering where your next paycheck's coming from.
Yes.
Yep, that'll definitely absorb a lot of your focus and attention.
So how do we beat that stress? Or
take a break.
Allow yourself to take a break.
Yeah.
But
recognize when you're burning out and enforce a break.
Also true. A lot of the examples we just mentioned have nothing to do with writing.
That's true.
No, unfortunately, with my issue right now, the only thing that's going to solve this, you know, burnout induced stress is time. It's just going to have to wash over and I'm going to need to get back into the slow rush at work again.
Yeah, and yeah, at the moment work for me is incredibly busy. Is it stressful? A little bit, but I think ultimately it's not as bad as the situation I had before, so I feel more inclined to write now than I did before.
So one of the solving techniques that might work for you and everyone else is actually a technique for helping you to go to sleep at night, is you have the stress chair.
You are not allowed to talk about people having a hard time sleeping at night, mister. I'm going to bonk myself in the face with my book over and over and over because I fall asleep
while reading
again. I dream
of having like a stress chair kind of thing.
where you just a chair where you sit down, and it's designated. That's the only time you sit down in it. You sit down in it, and that's the chair that you allow yourself to stress out, and you pour your stress out. And as soon as you leave your chair, that's when you leave it behind. And it takes practice, but much like
start with the toilet,
the lemon drop checks and all that that come up for some of the things. It's a matter of checking your brain to going, hey, this chair is for me to sit and stress in. As soon as I leave this chair, I'm not having any of it.
That was not the kind of stress chair I was envisioning. That's
interesting. I guess I like, just can't get it.
Scipions are another kind of stress chair.
I guess I
I could go for that type of stress chair right there.
So
the auto the asphyxiation chair.
Scipion stress chair.
So, I mean, it's kind of the same concept of like a bed, where beds should only be used for two things: sex and sleep. If as soon as you start using it for something else, your brain starts associating with something else, and then you end up having problems sleeping because your brain is too busy associating with, I'm in bed, I should be doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I should be watching TV. I should be reading a book. I should be, you know, writing. I should be doing this instead of sleep or sex. So with a stress chair, it's kind of the reverse. You've created a situation where there is a place for you to sit and do that. And the same thing goes for when you're going to write, is if you have a chair that you only sit in to write, your brain is going to start associating with when you're in this chair, you're there to do something creative. You're there to write. So as soon as you sit in that chair, you're, especially after you've sat in your stress chair, you are able to better work because your brain has that association of, okay, I'm in this chair. It's time to stop thinking about work, stop thinking about the kids, school, work, whatever. It's time to think about writing. And then the more you do it, and that's the kicker, you have to basically keep doing it. It has to be a habit.
Yet you've been using your writing chair for playing
exactly
Order the Stick the last couple
of... That's the problem that I have, is I've been using my writing desk as a gaming desk, and thus I've broken the association.
Well, that's why I like our write meets. You know, we go, we're away from everything else.
Yeah.
And we're there.
Right. And there's things like the smell of books, coffee, the chatter, the soft Christmas music. It
soft
all
Christmas
helps.
Music is blaring.
Like on Tuesdays, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna leave from work, go to go to Indigo, and then you know, walk through the door. I turn to the left. I look at the Kobos. I do this for about 5 minutes, and then I come, and then it's usually Dallin there.
Yeah,
and maybe you guys. And then, yeah, go get a coffee, sit down, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to be on Twitter.
And that's the thing. As soon as you think of, like, if you actually sit there and think about Tuesdays, you only really think about the writing.
Yeah.
Because that's, we've all trained ourselves. That's what we do.
And we all recognize that having that schedule is very important. And I think that's an important way to deal with, you know, writing burnout, is that you keep a schedule. And this isn't just advice that, you know, this is advice that almost every established writer will tell you, that you need a time and a place that you will write. Like one of the most vivid memories I have of having that kind of structure was at the apartment.
Yeah.
And we had that
when Roland and I lived together.
We had the writing chart.
The writing chart. Fucking writing chart.
You guys just ended up writing insults to each other on that thing at the end.
We did, but also like you got to see when we had NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
You got to see when I was writing consistently every day on the train, and you would see like 1,600, 2,000, 1,500, 1,000, you know, some days even just 300. And then you'd see Tarles 0000, 5,000, 0000. 10,000, 000000, 15,000, like...
And eventually the fuck you would come up on the board.
Yeah, and, like, it was very interesting to see, but...
Sounds like we should do this again.
What's your writing till today, Carrie? Stuff it. Ah.
That actually goes into something later on, but... and this kind of covers the... another one of our burnouts, which are things that leads to burnout, which is... outside sources taking up your time. we've mentioned this a couple times on the podcast where sometimes life just takes over and you find yourself coming home from work and you're just like, I don't want to write.
Now, should you push through that or should you accept it?
See, I think it's circumstantial. It depends. Like, have you been sick? Have you been had a hard time at work? Like, how long has it been since you've last written? Are you attending writing meets regularly? Like, if you're genuinely, like, recovering from an illness or you're pushing in overtime at work, pushing through it is probably not going to help you. At least I don't think it is.
There comes a point where you have to understand if you're using it as an excuse or if you are legitimately... I think... You know, if you come home from work and you're like, oh, I'm tired, and you just go to bed without even trying, that's an excuse. Mm-hmm. If you come home, you're like, oh, I'm tired, but I'm going to try to write. And this another method that people have used to make themselves more productive is to dedicate half an hour to something a day or a particular day. After that half hour, you're free. You can do whatever you want. But a lot of the time, people stay past that half hour doing the thing they decided to do.
Well, because they're invested in it then.
And like,
there's also times where you go like, didn't get anywhere, but done for today.
It's sort of like starting a bicycle on like the top gear.
And this goes back to one of the exercises that's in around the writing block, which is if you sit down and even in the first time, if you're not writing, if for that half an hour you do something creative, your brain still registers that creativity, even if it's for coloring in a freaking coloring book, which can be very therapeutic and relaxing in its own right. The more you do that, the more your brain, again, starts associating that block of time as creative time, and then it's easy enough to open your book, your laptop, and start typing. Another thing you do is, if you're coming home and you're finding yourself tired, look at other places that you can work that time in. Myself, I wake up sometimes half an hour to an hour and a half earlier before my alarm. What do I do with that time? I get dressed, I walk out, I get dressed, and then I have a nap. I can easily use that half an hour to an hour time that I'm having a nap in the morning to writing. I just don't, and that's my own goddamn fault.
Well, you used to go to the McDonald's.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I got some of the most of my writing done there, where I was literally putting myself in a situation where I'm here, I have nothing to do except drink my coffee and write. And I would sit there and I would bang out 2,000 words every single morning, and regardless, and it was a beautiful thing, and I don't do that anymore.
The times that I had the most fun writing and the times that I was the most productive writing were when I had a schedule.
Yeah. So, general physical exhaustion, something I'm suffering from.
Just tired.
And this goes both ways, too. Mm-hmm. Mental exhaustion and physical exhaustion affect each other very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get so annoyed at that. I hate when I get home and I'm like, I just want to take a nap. And then you'll take a nap and it ends up being 2 hours and you're like, well, I feel like I wasted my day.
Now I need to have dinner, shower, and go to bed.
Again, yeah.
And the worst part is by the time bedtime hits, you're still tired.
Yeah.
I'm only going to say one thing about this because I don't want to be the guy that completely talks about going to the gym. But going to the gym, you know, if physical exhaustion is a legitimate problem for you, exercise is a very good way to clear your mind, and it helps you to feel less exhausted on a daily basis.
You hit your stride.
Yes.
Even going for a walk before you write, like on my days off, if it's nice enough, I will get up, grab a coffee off my Keurig, and go for a walk. It's only half an hour to an hour. By the time I get back, I'm ready to go. Because I've already, as long as I don't take any form of music, my brain has to be silent. Because then as soon as I start thinking about the work, that's when my brain starts working on it. If I bring music, it immediately drowns out every single thing that I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, the working out thing works great. Like I'm sad because we just moved offices. And the office I had a gym in the tower that everyone could use. And so I normally don't take a lunch. So what I do is if I get that, you get that mid-afternoon sleepy around 2 or 3, there was nothing going on. I had my gym stuff. I just put it on, go run for 20 minutes, go back to work. And I'm not sleepy anymore.
Awesome.
I'm back to work. Now I'm just going to be sleepy because I don't have a gym.
I've been itching because I'm not allowed to exercise until my appointment tomorrow. So I can't wait to get back. But ultimately, the difference is night and day when you get even just a little bit of exercise in your day.
Yep. You should stay healthy. A healthy writer is a good writer.
Pay attention to your sleeping habits.
Your body and mind are very heavily linked, and it's important to keep both of them sharp.
I have fantastic, some of the greatest times for coming up with ideas and brainstorming is when you're like half asleep.
Yes.
But that is not too. A good time for writing.
No.
No, but it is a good time to have a book near, like a sketchbook.
Yeah, writing ideas.
I had a brilliant idea when I was half asleep on the bus yesterday, and I wish I wrote it down.
I find my mind wandering a lot more at work now. Yeah. Like, I've been thinking of, like, I'm like, oh, that would be so good.
My work and actually knows when I have my idea books out beside.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They know it's like, oh, Tarl's got an idea, and they won't. Like, they'll leave me alone.
That's awesome. They'd probably make fun of me at work.
Oh, yeah.
Religiously.
Yeah. So, rejection. This can be a big one. Not for any kind of burnout, per se, but it's one that can definitely stop you from writing, and it can actually stop you probably more effectively than anything else. And this goes into kind of the critiques versus criticism. There's a lot of people out there that don't know how to review things, and they can actually take things to the criticism point, and that, if you are not experienced in dealing with that and don't have coping measures, that can be devastating to your ability and want to write.
Or if you're just not familiar enough with your own habits that you don't know well enough to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Rejection's very, very damning on your
self-esteem, psyche, productivity.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I mentioned in one of the previous podcasts was, you know, I had my first two acceptance letters. I was raring to go. I'm like on cloud nine, and I'm like, as soon as I get a rejection letter, this is going to affect me. Got a rejection letter. Bang. I was like, I didn't write for a month. And it was like, oh, I guess that did affect me. Holy crap. And then I had to like, okay, well, I can't let this get to me. I'm aware of the fact that this got to me. Let's get over it. So then I just started working through it.
And it's, I think a lot of people overestimate how well they can take criticism sometimes. Like, because a lot of the time there's constructive criticism and then what everyone else gives you.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's not constructive unless you're specific. Like, the only people that I've really encountered that give that kind of feedback, the kind of feedback that I thrive in, have been editors. And those often aren't the people reviewing your story.
Yeah, even an edit, like, you could get accepted and get an editor's comments and just be like,
I've strongly disagreed with some editors too.
it just kind of kills your motivation. You're like, well, I don't know.
But I have that option. I have the outlet of arguing with them.
Well, you know that you're allowed to.
Yes.
And there are people who are beginning writers, many listening to this podcast, that don't know that they have the option to sit there and actually talk to editors, unless they listen to our editing podcast.
They may not tell you, but you are allowed to stand your ground on some cases. Like, there are obviously some things that just won't work, but...
But yeah, it's important to stay positive.
Yes.
That is what will keep you away from burnout. Being optimistic and knowing that, you know, you're going to get rejected. That's just what happens. Like, if you haven't been rejected and you're an author, you've clearly missed a level up stage. You know, it's an important thing that you have to realize that not everyone is going to love your work. You know, you're going to have critics, you're going to have people who read it and say this was trash. And you have to realize that, you know, either take their feedback or keep moving on, but you're always going to be improving. You're always going to be moving forward. Keep moving forward.
And with writing, like writing excuses, some other podcast, some of them just straight up don't read reviews. Period. No good, no bad. Because doing so is detrimental to your work. You know, it sways your opinion one way or the other. It could either give you an inflated ego about your work, encouraging you not to improve, or it crushes your spirit.
Yeah. So how would you get over rejection? Mostly
write the next one.
Write the next one.
Maybe if you're lucky, the editor was nice enough to tell you what was work and what didn't. So, you know, you don't feel like you're completely soul crushed or rejected. But even if you just got a sorry, this didn't work for us, that's just the generic one everyone else got. So don't take it personally.
If you've gotten a rejection letter, I mean, they've read your story enough to know why they didn't accept it. Mm-hmm. So they're going to likely be able to tell you.
A good thing to do is look for feedback. You know, at least if you can find someone who you trust, or at least you believe gives good feedback, and if they have time to read your story and tell you, then you can identify what you need to improve on. Then hopefully, like for myself, it's like, oh, I can't wait to write the next story because now I'm going to try and include that and do better on it. Like, I'm always looking, like, for this story, what can I try to do better? And so that actually drives me to write more, like I want to be better. So what's something that lacked in some of my last stories that I can try to make better in the next?
If you know, this could be for when you're just starting out, before you've built up a level of self-confidence. But if you go for someone's opinion that you respect and trust, you're likely more receptive to the kind of advice they're going to give you.
So one of the major forms of burnout is when you it's learning to recognize you need to take that break. When you need to sit there and be able to say, I need X amount of time off and away from writing to concentrate on whatever. I need to come back at this time. And just generally take time to yourself. You are allowed to take time away from writing as long as you have a point to come back. If you just, I'm going to take X amount of time off of writing and then never come back, you have failed.
It's kind of at that point that I'm afraid to consider a break from writing, because at what point am I going to come back?
Well, and that's what was concerning me, and that's why I fought it, and I fought it. And what could have been a month not writing turned into 4 months of not writing.
And also, we have somewhat rigid schedules that keep us on track for writing. I may not have been, when I decided not to write for Fur to Skin, I kind of stopped writing because that was the only thing I was writing for at the moment. But now, the writing meets, the podcast, these things that have a rigid structure are the little things that remind me that, the writing is still there. I'm still doing this. I still want to do this.
How do you know how long you'll be away? Like, how will you tell how much time to give yourself before you come back?
See, and that's something I've never quite been sure of. Like, I'm pretty sure I've told Ocean that I'm jealous of the fact that he takes deliberate breaks from writing.
I know he has, too. Mm-hmm. I've heard many people like, I can't believe you're able to take a break and get back in.
It's hard to tell when you're reaching that point sometimes.
I will state, it is not easy to just go, well, I'm done, and start writing again. The last time I took it, it probably took an extra week or two to get back in. But once you get back in, but then it goes back to, why are you motivated to go? What are you writing,
What are you writing for?
Yeah, like, for me, I was spending most of this break trying to brainstorm three story ideas for three anthologies coming out in the spring.
So it's not really a break, then.
No, it's a break because I actually haven't written anything down. But, when I'm getting a massage, or today when I'm in the dentist chair and there's nothing to do, well, I'll just sit there and think up stuff. And I think I might have a outline for one story. So now I'm, like, ready to write it again.
And that's the thing you have to remember, is there is a difference between thinking about and recording down ideas versus actually writing. You can take your month break, which I think Ocean has the right idea on that, where taking a month is a great idea, and just get ideas. Fill an idea book and go back. I actually just looked in my idea book 2 days ago and I came across a beautiful Arctic horror idea that I totally forgot about. You see a general theme in my ideas?
Yes.
The cold.
Yes, I've pointed this out to you.
Winter sucks.
I know, for myself, usually I don't like a break longer than a month. Like, even that seems extreme. But it's also good to, if you're going to plan a break, to also plan when that break is going to be over, and so you look ahead. Like for myself, I'm looking, okay, what anthologies are going to be coming out? When would a good time be to start writing for those again? You know, if you're not into anthology, if you're writing a novel, then you know it's going to be a bit different. You might have a longer. I want the novel done by this point, so I need to be starting by here.
See, when Voice mentioned, you know, sort of when you find yourself daydreaming and thinking up and writing down ideas about stories that you could write, that's actually been happening a lot more than, you know, usual to me lately. And I feel like that's almost a sign that I'm ready to come out of this burnout that I've been participating in for the last forever, what feels like.
Well, your mental state will also really help with that, so.
Yeah, but like I still just find it very hard to deliberately take a break from writing. It's much easier to fall into that pit of despair when you get into this cycle of trying to write and just never quite feeling good enough.
Well, it's like your job, right? You know, if you suddenly stop and go unemployed, it throws you for a loop, right? You've been doing this for so long and suddenly you stopped and you're like, wait, what do I do now?
Yeah.
There was a thing that was mentioned on Dead Robot Society that I'm finding it applying it more and more and more to things that you may do regularly and just stop doing. And it's when you're doing something regularly, be it work, be it school, be it writing, be it whatever, and you stop, if a certain period of time passes, it becomes awkward. The longer the time period that passes, the more awkward it feels to start up again. And that awkwardness is a huge detriment to you wanting to actually do that again. It can actually prevent you from finding a job, going back to school, writing, so on and so forth.
And that's with everything that you mm-hmm. do in your life. Any kind of habit, any kind of hobby. The good news is, though, is that you know, if you've fallen off out of something, you do still have experience in that thing. You can very easily get back on the horse if you dedicate a little bit of time. You know, if it's amazing what a month of habit can do if you're trying to get back into something.
It's all a matter of inertia, really.
Yeah.
So, what can you, now that we've covered a variety of types of burnout, beyond what we've already mentioned, what can you do for yourself when it comes to getting over your burnout? I've already mentioned the chair idea, which is actually based out of plasticity of your brain, again, from writer's block. I've mentioned this twice now.
And not just burnout, but just being motivated.
But I've mentioned it at a few panels now. I call it the lemon drop trick, which is stolen directly from the book. Basically, you sit down to do something creative. This is if you can't have half an hour set at the same time every day. It's if you're more of a fluid writer. Is when you sit down to write, pop a lemon drop or some other distinct candy that you will not have at any other point. That is very important. It can be peppermint, it can be lemon, it can be watermelon, as long as it's a distinct flavor and you don't chug it or eat it all the time. So every time you sit down to write, have one of these candies. Keep doing that. Eventually, when you sit down to write, you can pop one of those candies and your brain instantly goes, aha, time to write. And unlike the chair method, which is set kind of specific time periods of the day, the lemon trick you can use pretty much anywhere. You go somewhere where you don't have your chair, you have the lemon drop trick. And you can even combine them to work, though that, again, starts fucking with your brain. Get into the zone.
Yeah. So this method kind of falls into what I like to do when attempting to write. I'm all about having a very particular spot to go and write. It's something that will actively encourage. It's a little bit like the lemon drop trick. You know, I usually like to get myself a good playlist going, and that's why YouTube is great. You can type in the music that you like, and there's 1,000 playlists available for you. You don't have to pick with it. You don't have to fight to get the right songs. You hit it and go. And the longer you do this, the more into the zone you can get, the less you have to think about it, the more you get done, and it's just, it is one sort of big rolling snowball.
To go on the music thing, there was an interesting study done that music without lyrics works better than music with lyrics.
Also very important.
If you have music with lyrics, it actually kind of scrambles your language centers because your brain is listening to it. The way to solve this, if you want to have lyrics, is listen to things like Japanese pop or something where you can't understand the lyrics, because then your brain just turns it into an instrument and bang, you're done.
How many times have you been trying to write something and somebody's talking to you and you've written what they're saying?
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, we've all done it.
Then you're sitting there going, how the hell did that get in there? But the best part is you've written what they're talking about, but you have zero recollection of what they just yammered at you. That's my favorite.
Another thing you can do is know when your best time to write is.
Yep.
We all have the best time to write. Mine is not conducive to when I work. My best time to write is late at night. I can't do that with the job I have.
You can do that with the roommate you have, though.
Yes. So I have to work around that, either writing really, really early or find another point in the day that I can write well.
This somewhat has to do with writing in the zone as much as it does with finding an appropriate time to write. And it's something that a lot of developers, like programmers, talk about as well. It's getting in the zone and figuring out when the best times for productivity are. Sometimes, you know, like, some people truly do work better at night because people are asleep. They're the only ones up and there's no distractions. Like, you don't, you know, you can't check your phone because everyone's asleep. You can't go online because nothing's happening. And it's sort of it's a delicate balance as to when you're most productive.
Yeah.
And how you're most productive.
And that goes with your point of remove distractions. Not having the internet is a big thing.
Which, it's very difficult nowadays.
Yeah.
I can't go anywhere without the internet. It's almost literally impossible.
No, you can turn the internet off on your devices.
There was a beautiful commentary on this on the Christmas South Park episode that aired last night. Whereas they're talking about no one sits in the living room and watches TV anymore because they are all on their personal devices watching whatever. And that's very much how our society's become. Everyone is plugged in at some point on social media, you know, watching whatever on tablets, their phones, you know, whatever devices. So when you sit down to write, it's really hard for you not to go on to any of those and just be like, oh, I'm going to check Twitter for, you know, 3 seconds. And, you know, two hours later, you're like, oh, shit, where did that go?
Ocean pulls out
his phone. Years ago. Before the stereotype really came around, you know, before writing in coffee shops was a stereotype, back when paying for an hour of internet cost you $15.
Yeah.
God, I remember that.
I used to be able to go to Starbucks or Second Cup, wherever I happened to work at the time, and write. There was no internet. My phone didn't have a data plan. Yeah. My laptop had a Wi-Fi card, but there were no open Wi-Fi hotspots. Like, it was a
dead zone.
Yeah. And that's where I got the most of my writing done. It's where I could go, and my only purpose was to write. Or in some cases, play with 3DS Max. And that just doesn't exist anymore, and it makes me sad sometimes.
Oh, it makes me sad too. Write other genres, try something new, do other creative things. This goes back to the coloring book. This goes back to, if you're sick of a genre, write something else. In fact, this is something you should be doing anyway, is writing.
We did cover this in what one was it?
We've mentioned it a number of times.
We've talked about genres and stuff as well.
But it's just one of those, and it's one of those things that is worth mentioning time and time again. It's don't get stuck into a genre, because you may think you're hot shit in one genre and start writing in another one and find out you're actually significantly better in writing that genre.
It broadens your horizons, and sometimes authors get into the trap of writing the same thing over and over again.
Now, NaNoWriMo trick for getting out of your lovely burnout or writer's block. Use the power of accountability with your friends or internet friends. Sit there and blab about whatever you're going to write and talk about when you're going to have it finished. And the threat that they are going to make fun of you is actually a really, really useful tool in getting you to write.
You know where you can go for ridicule when you haven't finished your story?
The internet!
Furry Writers Guild.
That is true. Another thing you can use with your friends and or strangers online or even in a coffee shop is writing prompts. There's also places like the Furry Writers Guild that give you prompts. There's Twitter feeds that give you prompts. There's writer prompts everywhere. The nice thing about them is that you can sit there and go through them, and there's going to be, I guarantee, one or two that spark your interest that you're going to have you writing. And then you basically just have to write. And that's the most important thing is, you know, even if you're looking at them, don't just look at them for entertainment. Pick one and write.
One good thing about anthologies is that, like, There's one, setting deadlines for yourself is one thing that can help. I've never really considered myself to be a good standard to hold myself against. Like, if I don't get to a deadline, the only person I'm going to let down is myself, and that's not really the biggest incentive for me. But when you have an anthology, something with a strict deadline, somebody that's going to go move forward with this, whether you like it or not, if you want in that anthology, you have to write for it. And I've found that to be a much better motivator to write my story than my own deadlines.
Well,
that seemed pretty
tangible.
It can also
cause a lot of stress.
Yeah. But that was one of the things that always motivated me the most when it came to writing, and that's why I have my red binder of doom, is because it has those deadlines. Like, I looked at it today and I'm like, oh, there's 6 anthologies due at the end of this month. I have 2 weeks right around Christmas that I can use to write. Instant motivation. Whether or not I do anything with it is another problem, but I will have a number of days where I am home alone with no distractions.
Sounds like a spray and pray method.
Yeah, pretty much. But I know that there's only going to be 1 or 2 stories that I'm actually going to get done. But that's still 1 or 2 stories that I get done versus 0.
I think another way to prevent writer's burnout as well is setting yourself realistic expectations.
Like not doing 6 stories in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, it all depends. This also depends on how well you know yourself and how you know how to set your limits. Because if you're writing something that is too much effort, this is similar to the editing cycle. You're going to burn yourself out because you did not accomplish what you set out to do, and it's going to be discouraging.
Another really good one is actually just having a group of writers. Like, how much does our productivity increase just by the fact that we have us?
A lot.
We have each other for beta reads. We're here talking about, did you see this? Oh, you should write for that. This would be a good idea. I don't know what to do about this. You could do that. And then we have our regular meets, like every Tuesday, that, you know, we come, we sit down, we write. That alone, I think, has been one of the biggest motivators for us.
Well, it's gotten Dallin out of his burnout.
Yeah, he's right.
Huge.
There.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like, just by the fact that, well, I can't really show up to write meet and not write, that's kind of awkward.
Well, and I've done that, and I felt like shit because of it.
The rest of us
are
all typing.
Like, you're typing, and I'm like, I have nothing to write. I'm going to go dick around the bookstore for a bit. And I come back, you're still writing, and it's like, I really should write. Because I look like a dick, and I'm distracting them from writing by dicking away off away from the table every 5 minutes because I'm bored.
Now where the hell did he go?
I think that's the only thing that annoys me. It's like, I want to join this conversation, but I do have to write tonight. I'm just going to, please don't be offended as I slide my headphones on, nod, and then slowly look away get into the zone.
That's something we all understand, too.
Yeah.
You know, if we want to write, we put our headphones on. In some cases, I wish I had closed back headphones, but I don't.
So, what do you do if someone you know has burnout?
Be positive.
Be positive. Give them space. Don't hound them.
Hound them, but at the same time, like, encourage them.
Yes.
It's sort of like telling an angry person to calm down.
Or a sad person to be happy.
Yeah. You're sad. Be happy instead.
Which just makes them feel guilty that they're sad.
Or more pissed off.
Yeah, one of the quickest ways to piss someone off is to ask if they're pissed off. Yeah. Are you pissed off? I think you're pissed off. Well, I'm pissed off now.
And then not believe them if they tell them.
Just like, you should stop being so pissed. I'm not pissed off. Well, now I'm pissed off because you're being...
Because you're being a dick.
Are you sad? No. Well, you look sad. No.
If someone's not writing, there's probably a reason, you know. And sometimes there's people that I know, they're just stuck, and I'm like, go write. Go write now. Stop talking to me. Go write.
Well, but you also know when to gauge the situation.
Exactly what I was getting to. There are times where it's like, you know, maybe you need a break. Like, have you tried this? Like, you should try this. Like, well, I don't know. Like, well, let's do some ideas. Let's talk. Let's work things out. I am here for you.
A lot of the time, like, when you go, like, say, in your example, when you tell someone to shut up, go write, it's because they're sitting there moping about how they're not writing.
They're sitting on, like, Skype going, I don't know what to do. Well, go write.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know what to write. Let me give you an idea.
What's like the people? A dog walks into a bar.
Well, it's like the people who sit there and write on Twitter that they don't know what to write or don't know. And it's like, you're writing on Twitter. Just go open another document, close Twitter, and write on there.
And very much in the same way that if you dedicate 20 minutes to half an hour towards something, you're going to find something. Like, I can't tell you the amount of stories that I've had that have started because I've written about how the sky is blue.
And then you're a liar.
Like, the sky, and then you slowly drift your focus down towards the ground, and then you start to see people, and etc. It's very easy to write once you've started.
Yeah.
And people get distracted, and they don't start, and they're wondering why no writing gets done.
It's like falling down a hill. Once you get started, it's easier the further you go.
Yeah.
Especially if you chase cheese.
Especially if the girl pushed you.
Yeah. Then you break your crown.
It's her fault. Female betrayal.
Then they come tumbling after. Yeah. Female betrayal. God damn it. So, the take-home points.
Everybody experiences burnout.
In one form or another.
Taking a break isn't a bad thing.
But you have
moral
to...
Moral of the story, just copy Ocean.
So let's wrap this up. So just to kind of sum things up, everybody has burnout at some point. You know, it comes in different forms. It happens to a lot of people. So don't feel like, I'm burnt out. No one knows what I feel like. Because a lot of people have experienced it before. You know, it's important to realize when you're getting burnt out, and to, you either take steps to get past it or to realize that maybe you just need a break. And don't feel bad if you're taking a break, because, you know, sometimes you need to. Life happens. Just if you're taking a break, maybe stop and go, okay, I'm just going to take a break for 2 weeks or something. And then after those 2 weeks, get back into it.
Mark it on the calendar if you have to.
Yeah, get somebody to go, make sure I'm ready on this day. You know, with writing, it's so easy to put other things that you do in your life on the shelf and forget about them. And then it builds up after time. And you need to sometimes put writing on the shelf and enjoy those other things. But, you know, it's always great to you know, find that community, find other writers that can help motivate you or other people who enjoy your writing to motivate you, because being positive about it and just wanting to write and enjoying writing. Like, if you're not enjoying it, I really don't know if I should recommend writing. But, you know. It's not something you should be dragging yourself through the mud through.
One thing that, you know, a lot of people don't recognize burnout and they end up not enjoying writing by the time they're done. So it's important to remember when to take that break.
Mm-hmm.
And that will reflect in your work. If you're hating your work, you know, it will show.
Yeah, people can tell when your heart's not in it. And like, think of the last book that you read that you're just like, this person's not about it. Anyway, this isn't really take-home points anymore, so...
And it's important to find that groove. You know, just building up that inertia again if you take a break, or if you want to try to avoid burnout, is just keeping...
Find your muse.
Yeah.
Figure out what makes you write. Because we all have a way of getting into the groove, getting into the zone.
How Ryder got his groove back?
Oceans and Mines is very much, you know, music, for example.
Mine is long walks along the beach.
Too bad we don't have any beaches.
Yeah.
No wonder you're burnt out. You took that cruise and now you can't get back.
The thing that bugs me is the fact that when I come back, the stories I want to write are erotica, and it's just like...
Then write them.
Oh yeah, no, I'm going to.
Okay.
But they're with characters that I'm used to, and there's situations that I like, and there's...
Now that you're not burnt out, do you feel more like writing erotica?
Well, the thing is with erotica, it took me going to, like, the kink night, and just watching this lady have the worst night of her life.
I need to get out more.
And...
It happens once a month.
It's just like...
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, okay, that was interesting. Hey, I can build a character off of some of the things that happened here. And then go from there. But anyway, I guess that would be it.
So have you solved your burnout?
I think I do. I think I have. I mean...
We'll find out on Tuesday?
We'll find out on Tuesday.
I see.
We'll find out this weekend, actually.
I think that I would still probably be in burnout if it wasn't for the fact that I found work.
Well, to be fair, like, unemployment is a whole nother level because that doesn't throw off your writing. That throws off your life.
It's crippling. It destroyed a lot of my life.
I've been there. I've seen other people go. It's just a downward spiral of depression.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
If that's it.
This has been it. Thank you for listening.
Woo, go. Yes, podcast at fangsandfonts.com or Twitter at fangsandfonts or Facebook, fangsandfonts.com/Facebook.
Damn it.
Facebook.com/fangsandfonts.
You can also tell us any topics you want to hear, guests you'd like on, etc.
And please send us more email. We don't get enough.
Yeah, we want more real email, less spam.
We know a lot of people listen to this.
I've had a lot of people offer me SEO advice. And
SEO?
What's that?
SEO?
Yeah, it's like the, you know, get your page noticed, etc., etc.
Oh.
Even though I'm like, we're a hobbyist podcast.
We know you guys are listening. We have a lot of comments from people about the podcast.
So stop being stingy.
Send us some emails. It'll help you get over your burnout.
I'm still shocked. Like, are we being militant now?
Buy my book. Buy my book.
Buy my book. Speaking of which. Abandoned Places is still available at... Fur Planet, go there, buy it, take a picture, show me, because I bet you get your copy before I get mine. Seriously, though, it's a good book. I know, I read all the stories in there multiple times. Also has amazing interior and exterior art, one of the last books by Fur Planet to have interior art. So please, buy this book. Buy this book. Buy this book.
And then write for my book.
And then write for Ocean's book.
And be patient with mine.
And... make sure you think that Rollins is not dead. Not dead. Not dead.
Not dead, like the characters that will be dead in noir stories. Go write your noir story now. Go find the details on the Fur Planet submission site.
And go look at Tigrock's Tales on Twitter.
Yes, if you want to follow any updates for noir or any other writing I'm doing, it's Tigrock's Tales.
Tigrock's Tales!
Well then, have a good night, everyone.
Good night!
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
I would love to do, like, the Arctic. Like, things that involve, like, winter. Winter, the Arctic, the snow. Like, basically an entire anthology of...
So have themes of abandoned places?
Not abandoned places, but just frozen places.
Just call it Frozen.
All I can think of is that fuck it, ship it, let it go.